Prologue. Prelude to the Revolution. On June 22, 1775, 14 years before the start of the French Revolution, Marie Antoinette wrote her mother, Empress Maria Theresa of Austria, describing how moved she was at the coronation of her husband, Louis XVI, at the Cathedral of Reims. The crowd's enthusiasm and most touching acclamations had brought her to tears. But the new queen was already aware that problems lurked on the horizon at the onset of her reign. It is at the same time amazing and wonderful to be so well received 2 months after the riots and in spite of the high price of bread, which unfortunately continues. Marie Antoinette was referring to the Flower Wars, a wave of riots throughout much of France due to the hoarding of grain in the royal reserves. The artificially high cost of grain and, consequently, the high cost of bread resulted in what many historians have called the prelude to the revolution. However, there were warning signs much earlier about the troubles to come. On his deathbed in 1715, Louis XIV, the Sun King, cautioned the heir to the throne, his 5-year-old great-grandson Louis, about extravagant spending, whether for war or other projects. "You will soon be king of a great kingdom. What I recommend most strongly is to never forget the obligations you have to God, to whom you owe all that you are. Try to keep peace with your neighbors. I'm too fond of war. Do not imitate me in this, nor in the great expenses that I made." Louis XIV was certainly referring to the numerous wars fought during his reign and the extravagant building projects such as Versailles, with its elaborate decor, gardens, and fountains. But recognizing the needs of his subjects, he continued, "Care for your people as soon as you can, and do not as I have had the misfortune to do myself." Louis XV, the well-beloved bien-aimé, however, did not follow the Sun King's advice, and by his death in 1774 was known as Louis the Hated, Detest. His reign was riddled with excessive spending, fragile foreign relations, high taxes, powerful mistresses, and debauchery. Although the aristocracy and bourgeoisie gained power, the people suffered greatly. When on his deathbed, Louis XV reputedly uttered the phrase, "After me, the deluge. Après moi, le déluge." And indeed, it was a bloody one. There are many schools of thought with respect to the origins of the French Revolution. Although this book does not focus exclusively on this violent transformation, it is important to understand why the young fairy tale princess from Austria would one day be so viciously attacked as the scourge and bloodsucker of all the French. By the time of the storming of the Bastille in 1789, the French people had lost faith in King Louis XVI and, increasingly, blamed his spendthrift queen for their hardships. In fact, the press was calling for her and other royals and aristocrats to be chopped up like meat for pâté. A number of factors, ranging from social and political considerations to the weak and irresolute Louis XVI himself, contributed to this rage. At a time of national crisis, when decisive leadership was needed, the king turned to hunting or tinkering with his locks and handiworks to escape the burdens of governing. His inexperienced wife, Marie Antoinette, and his youngest brother, the Comte d'Artois, soon filled this policy vacuum, and such a remedy could only lead to disaster. "Where the monarch is feeble-minded, the courtiers are intriguing, the factions are loud, the populace is daring. Good men become timid. The most zealous public servants become discouraged. The men of talent meet only with repulses, and the best counsels lead to no effect." Ironically, other than humiliating France's rival, England, Louis XVI's exorbitant financial support for the American Revolution had no effect in weakening the English influence in the American colonies,